going to talk a little bit about Christmas. Maybe seems a little bit odd given we're in a post-Christmas time of year. But the season of Christmas, the 12 days where we celebrate the birth of Christ and all that is wrapped up in the Nativity story, is sandwiched between, of course, two other seasons of the church: Advent, which kicks off the church year, and Epiphany, which is where we find ourselves right now. Now, in Advent, a theme that often emerges is from a passage in Isaiah. And that passage is, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned," from Isaiah 9. We find this theme of light keeps coming up in Advent. Illumination. It gets caught up in the message of John the Baptist when he again quotes from Isaiah, "Make a straight path for the Lord." The season of Advent prepares us for Christmas, reminds us of the light which is about to enter into our midst, that is going to come into the world. And the season of Epiphany, where we find ourselves now, similarly shares these images that come out of Advent. These themes of light and illumination appear in Epiphany as well. And I believe in many of the sermons, I think almost all of them that I have been preaching this Epiphany season, I have talked that this is the first instances of Jesus' public ministry, where we make the connection between the season of Advent and the light that was seen, the light that was to be, to Epiphany, and we now realize who and what this light is and what it signifies. And for us, it's, of course, a several month shift as we move from Advent in December through to Christmas and then Epiphany in January and February. But for those who were waiting for the light in that time, it's, of course, been 30 years since Christ was born. And they're still waiting, and now Christ's ministry begins, and the connections are being drawn and made as to Christ being the light in the world. Advent and Epiphany shine a light on Jesus, and they ask us to participate in that light-bearing ministry that Jesus started. And our reading this morning from Matthew continues on the Sermon on the Mount. And today, Jesus talks explicitly about salt and light. It is a metaphor for the questions of who are we and what are we to do? Salt and light. And all the teaching that Jesus is doing here, the Beatitudes, talking about salt and light, it is all bound up in the work of the prophets. In the passage that we read, was read from Isaiah this morning, the people accuse God of not seeing their faithfulness. However, as the reading goes on, it becomes clear that they are the ones who are dwelling in the dark, unable to see what God is doing. And once they begin to work with God, their own light breaks forth. Erica Barato writes, "Righteousness before God is bound up in the call of the law and the prophets." Like the people of Israel that Isaiah spoke to, we are similarly called to trust God enough to allow our life to shine forth. But Jesus takes it a step further when he makes the connection with salt. Salt has some usefulness. Its job is to preserve and to enhance flavor. "If then you are the salt of the earth, then you have some flavor, some character." Salt always preserves and enhances, and light always illuminates and attracts. But salt does have a shelf life. If it is left to sit, it then loses its effectiveness. A reminder to get to it, to get to the work. And light, similarly, as we talked with the kids this morning, light can go out. and we can allow our own light to go out. In our modern day, in our modern times, we can flick a light, a switch, and the lights, they just come on. Gone are the days when we needed candles and lamps. Things that, if they were not tended to, could go out. And Matthew, in this passage, he appears to be building a sense of urgency or timeliness into his message, that we shouldn't just sit back. Matthew's trying to infer that we have important work to do, and that the world could use some preserving. It needs light to shine forth into it. And salt. I mean, we mix salt up into our food. You don't just sprinkle it on top. You sprinkle it on top and then you mix it in with all of the food. To be effective, then, we also need to be mixed into the world by bringing the saltiness of the good news to people who need to taste it. Salt that doesn't leave a salt shaker isn't doing its job. It needs to be poured out, mixed up with the food, just as we need to be visible to the world outside of those doors. Scott Jose from the Center for Excellence in Preaching, he shares the following story. It's a story about Eugene Peterson, who passed away last year. Peterson was a Presbyterian minister, Presbyterian Church in the United States minister, who passed last year, and was quite a prolific writer. If you're familiar with the translation of the Bible, The Message, that was done by Peterson. But Jose writes, he says, "A while back, someone asked the preacher and writer Eugene Peterson what he would say if he were writing what he knew would be his very last sermon. And Peterson replied, "I think I would want to talk about things that are immediate and ordinary. In the kind of world we live in, the primary way that I can get people to be aware of God is to say, 'Who are you going to have breakfast with tomorrow? And how are you going to treat that person?'" Peterson suggests we need to stop thinking that being a Christian means always being part of only obvious religious context. We need to pay attention to what the people around us are doing most every day, and then help them do it in ways that glorify God. "In my last sermon, I guess I'd want to say," Peterson says, "go home and be good to your spouse. Treat your children with respect. Do a good job at work." We need to be salt in the real world, and that involves genuinely being with real people, listening to them well, and treating them as the little images of God that they all are. It's a remarkably simple image: to be good to those we love, to do good at work, to be involved with real people, to do good while we're in their company, to be salt while we're mixed up with the events of our lives. And I also believe it is entirely doable to be good, to be respectful, and to treat others as images of God, just as we would hope that others treat us. Often we look for big things as signs that we are doing the work of the kingdom. Perhaps we see another church doing something wonderful in the community and we think, "Wow, gosh, we need to be more like them. We need to do that too so that we can make a difference." And that isn't always the case. Sure, it's great to do big things that people see, and we have done those things in recent times with refugee sponsorship. And maybe that makes the news, and maybe that gets the community talking. And that's great. It really is. But I really believe that it's all the small things that we do as a community of faith that define us, that truly define us. When we gather together and share a meal, when we sit at the bedside of someone in hospital, when we serve a meal to someone who is hungry, when we gather food each month to support the food bank, when we speak up for those who don't have a voice or the resources to speak up for themselves, picking up the phone, making a call, checking in on someone that you haven't seen for a while, laughing and crying together. That's what being salt and light is all about in God's good creation. Small, simple acts of goodness. And this is brought home when we remember that the good that we do, well, those good works, they aren't ours. We're merely conduits of God's goodness. We don't do good works for our own benefit. We don't do it, because we're seeking material gain or because we need to be in the limelight. We do what we do. We are the salt of the earth. And we do it all for God's benefit. Of course, it isn't just you and you and you who go out and do the good work. When Jesus says, "You are the light of the world," it isn't the second person, or it isn't second person plural. That's a typo. It's not first. That's why I shouldn't do grammar. It's plural. It's all of you. That's what I'm trying to say. It's all of you. All of you are the light of the world. Each of you, as individuals and collectively, make a difference. When we work together, we make a difference. And while we're each called and tasked with individual ministries within our lives, we come together as a community of faith and we become salt and light. We're called to do that work together as a community of faith. It's why we gather. And I pray that as we walk through those doors, we can answer God's call. We can declare, "Here I am," as we become the salt and the light that this world so desperately needs. Amen.